Radio Network. Eric Carle here. Gary McNamara is off. 800-288-9227. Welcome to Ask the Law. Our second hour for Monday, January 4th, 2010. Brought to you as a public service of Old Blue USA. With us, Senior Trooper Monty Dow, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol. All the information and answers to questions are up to date. At this time, they can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. I've been known to ramble. Drivers, you can always get your CMV questions answered at askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org, by clicking on the big red button that says email Ask the Law. It is that simple. If you'd like to get through, maybe you have an hours of service question or a comment about hours of service or CSA 2010, we'd love to take your calls at 800-288-9227. As we were wrapping up our first hour of Ask the Law this morning, we had a driver, Blake, who called in and was talking about and kind of issuing his opinions on APUs and idling laws. And one of the things that I have said all along is the fact that we have such a contradiction with our EPA rules, the EPA rules and state and local rules that govern trucks and equipment, state this, that, of course, we know now, as of right now, as of just a few days ago, and by the way, Happy New Year to everybody, we are now under a new EPA mandate for engines. All right, so the EPA 2010 engines will start rolling off the line. Now, here's the concern, is that those engines, which have to meet a certain emission standard, are going to cost $9,000 to $10,000 more per unit as a direct result, of EPA mandates. Now, you're asking companies and drivers to pay that. They have to. Somebody has to pay it. It's got to be passed along to the consumer, does it not? So it is. And then we also, because of anti-idling laws, we also have to add on the cost of an APU or some type of anti-idling device or technology on that truck in order to keep that driver comfortable as they sleep, as they rest. We know now that these 2010 engines, the air going into these engines is actually dirtier than the exhaust coming out. The old billowing black smoke days of diesel engines are over. I'm not saying there aren't still some of those out there on the highways. There are. Those older engines still do exist. But as we move along here over the next several years, those trucks will age. Those trucks will be few and far between, and the majority of the trucks on the road will have a will meet emission standards. That will, again, as a result of EPA mandates, be just as clean as anything out there, if not cleaner. You may hear the words clean diesel. Clean diesel technology is very real. But drivers are forced to pay. They're forced to pay for some type of anti-idling device or crack their windows or, you know, and suffer or do, you know, whatever it takes. So I just think there's a contradiction when it comes to these EPA mandates, and we're not seeing any consideration. In fact, California Air Resources Board is, boy, we could talk about the problems there with this board that has a member on it that allegedly got his degree through the mail that is now saying that, you know, by the year 2020, your truck is going to have to be a certain age in order to travel their roads. I think it's going to be tougher and tougher. I hear more and more drivers who just simply will not run California anymore because of the tough laws out there. It just makes it it's just prohibitive as far as a business environment is concerned, and you cannot expect to make a profit. And I'm sorry, but profit is what drives this country. Profit is what drives us all. If this morning, January 4th, 2010, we all woke up and we read an article that said our company over the weekend became the most profitable company in America, we would all jump for joy, because it would mean our jobs would be more stable. It would mean a less of a question mark above our head that we've had for the last couple of years. And just imagine if instead of being stranded all over the United States, the drivers for Aero Trucking over the weekend got news that their company was the most profitable trucking company in the United States and would keep rolling, and that they would never, ever be at risk for being stranded anywhere in the United States because they're making record profits. Profits are what drive this country. It's what keeps us complete. It's what drives liberty. Being profitable, being financially stable drives liberty, and you can't do that with more and more government regulation. If you're a company driver and you get a, if you get the magazine company driver, it's one from Randall Riley. I write my January article is all about this, and it talks about the title of the article is A New Year Resolution, or A New Year Revolution, rather. And the revolution is about what will be the change coming forth with legislators later this year with the midterm elections and everything that's moving there. So, again, my opinions only. Does not reflect the opinions of anyone with Old Blue USA or Trooper Dial. But I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I was able to get that out there, because it's just, I think, an absurd point that we get to where we have these laws that contradict each other and there is no consideration for one or the other. So, and it this is what, and Trooper Dial, you know, you and I have discussed what could come out of the whole hours of service thing as they're reviewing hours of service now and electronic onboard recorders. Now, yes. You and I would like to think that there may be some consideration,
mm-hmm.
if there's an electronic onboard recorder on board, that there may be some flexibility in whatever new hours of service rule comes down. I think we'll probably get some idea of that sometime this year. But when you look at EPA laws and how they contradict each other, you have to just take into consideration that that's not a given.
Correct.
So we don't know for sure. We can only speculate. 800-288-9227. Ask the law. If you want to get on board, please do so now. 800-288-9227. Driver says vacation time is over, and it's time to get back on the road. And you know what? I thought about this over the weekend. I hope that 2010 is your busiest year ever.
Yes.
I hope you have no time for anything else but driving in 2010. I hope, and I thought about this because I was reading about the busiest day of the year for UPS employees and drivers, and I was thinking, well, you know what? I hope it's as busy as ever for those UPS employees and drivers. I hope it's busier than ever. I hope they're sweating and wiping their brows and saying to themselves, I can't believe how much work we have, because it means that they're employed.
Yes.
800-288-9227, and if you're a driver anywhere hauling any freight, it means there's freight. So let's go to 30 in Texas, where Dale is next. Hi, Dale. How are you?
Hey, just fine. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year. Welcome.
So, Trooper Dial, question is, I've got a hazmat load on coming into Dallas to deliver on Singleton Boulevard. And what I'm wondering is, can I stay on I-30 coming through town to get to my destination, or do I need to go around the bypass and come down Loop 12?
If you have a hazmat load on, you cannot go through the canyon in downtown Dallas.
Okay.
You can go, and what they do is, if you're coming in on 30, you can get as far as First Avenue. And when you take the exit, they have hazmat route signs that will route you through the downtown area. But Interstate 30 through the canyon is a no-no for hazmat routes.
Okay. All righty. Now, I believe the 408 is a hazmat. You're heading to 20 south?
Yes. Yes. If you take... Yeah, if you're coming in on 30, go south on 635, take it around to Spur 408, and then you can come up north on 408, and it turns into Loop 12. And as soon as you cross 30, you'll have the Singleton exit right there.
Correct. That'd be a better way to do it than going to the north side, I believe, wouldn't it?
That would be my choice.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we had a little argument going with a friend of mine. He said, "No, Billy, if you're delivering in there, you can run that too." I said, "I don't think so."
No, you can't.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks so much, Dale.
Yeah, I wish I would have had money on that.
Yeah. We do appreciate your call, and drive safe. Thank you so much. 800-288-9227 if we want to get through. That's a tricky question, because somehow there, you can bet that area, that region has, that part of town has hazmat destinations.
Oh, yes.
I've seen some of the newer GPS devices that are out there that have countless points of interest on them.
Right.
So it would seem advantageous for any company that's hauling hazmat, or any owner-operator that's hauling hazmat, to maybe look into those. You're going to have to ask a bunch of questions to make sure it has what you need. But
One that I was I heard somebody advertising or read something, and it was one that was specifically designed for trucks.
Yeah, right.
And you could go in, and if you were hauling a hazmat load, that you could actually go in and program
it. Yes.
To show that you were hauling hazmat, and it would put you on hazmat routes.
Right. In fact, Rand McNally, Cobra, pretty much all the brands out there that are trucking specific for GPS right now have those programmable features where you go in and you can program your truck. And if you operate in multiple trucks, maybe you go from truck to truck, it's transferable. So you could set a program. Program one could be for this truck, and then the next load maybe could be for the other truck or the other type of load that you haul. And it has to do with your weight, with whether or not you're hauling hazmat, and your height requirements and everything else. So they're getting very specific now. I'm one of those that still, even as great as this technology is, I'm still kind of leery, and I still kind of go, I don't know that I fully trust it. So, you just buy at your own risk, I guess I should say.
Yes.
Any investment that you make is going to have to be based on your decisions. So go out there and maybe ask the questions from somebody who is familiar, very familiar. Maybe even check online, contact the company if you like. To get some of these questions answered on GPS.
Well, if you have access to the internet, you can learn a lot of information.
You really can. It's amazing. It really is amazing how much the internet has helped the trucking industry, I think, specifically, and how many drivers over the last several years alone have taken on laptops and everything else, because you can get free Wi-Fi at just about every stop.
Right.
Now. And
I'm not going to give you the name of the one that I go and do a lot of shopping on.
Yeah.
But when I'm looking to make a purchase,
yeah,
I go and there's all kinds of reviews.
Oh, yeah.
That you can read.
And read those. Read those comments.
Yeah.
And not just don't read just the good ones. You
got
to read what
read the bad ones.
Read the bad ones, because that's where you're going to learn something.
Right.
So I always say, don't believe a word I say. What, even if I'm advertising a certain product. You need to go out and talk to the drivers who have done it. You need to go and ask the company about, specific questions that pertain to your business. But some of those GPS units look very, very impressive, and I would have to think that a lot of them would be very, very helpful. I know that you can't always afford something like that, and it's not always to your advantage. But in a situation like we just heard with Dale, maybe something like that would have helped in that situation. So I do appreciate the call, Dale. If you want to get on board, you can do so right now. It is Ask the Law with Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol. It's a public service of Old Blue USA. And your questions and answers at 800-288-9227, or send us a text 68683. Make MRN the first three letters. Do not text while driving, and standard rates do apply. We're back in just a moment on the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network, Eric Hartley, Gary McNamara's off. It is Ask the Law for January 4th, 2010. The answers to questions can change without notice. We are here with Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's see if we can get a question in before the bottom of the hour. Mark is on I-20. Mark, you're up next. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, morning. Happy New Year also to you guys.
Happy New Year.
I got a question regarding with stuff that's on, like, on a DAC report and not on a DAC. And
right.
Quick synopsis.
Right.
I've been driving, say, 7 years, and I'm pretty much impeccable and no incident deal.
Right.
Yet last year, I let being an owner-operator became a company driver, okay? In my fifth week of training with the other company, I was doing a Matic tanker. I rolled it out. I rolled the truck over coming out of a sand pit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
DPS came out there in Grimes or Falls County, and they deemed it non-preventable,
mm-hmm.
okay? The safety coordinator and all that for the company I was pulling for came out there, also said non-preventable. So I wrote up an incident report. We left it at non-preventable because my driving record helped me out. They kept me on board, okay?
Right.
Now that I parted ways with them and got my own truck again, when I went to go apply with this company, they said it was a preventable accident.
Hmm.
And then the guy told me, well, it was 20% preventable and 80% non-preventable. I said, well, shouldn't it go towards the favor of the non-preventable?
Right.
He said he's not going to put on my DAC report.
Right, right. Well, Mark, I tell you what. Hold on. We're going to hold you through the break because I want to get back and see what there is that you can do, if anything, about challenging items on your DAC report. It is the Midnight Radio Network. Radio Network. Eric Carley here. Gary McNamara's off this morning. It is Ask the Law for Monday, January 4th, 2010. And it's brought to you by Old Blue USA. RJ Taylor has been working for years to bring information, safety information to drivers. It's been a part of this program for many years, I'm proud to say. And we are with Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol. All the information and answers to questions are up to date as of today. They can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial considered to be opinions only. Go to askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org, and click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law, and they will get you your answer as quickly as possible. All right, before the break, we heard from Mark. And Mark had a question about his DAC report.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow, we could do years worth of programs every hour, every night on DAC reports alone and still not get all the answers. When it comes to the DAC report, and we're going to segue into CSA 2010 because they kind of go in hand here, but he says, now Mark says, all right, I had an accident that was listed as unpreventable. I left the company and went back, and now they're saying, it's not completely unpreventable. Is there anything that drivers can do under the law to challenge this? I guess they have the right to challenge anything on the DAC report, but is there any law that pertains to that?
No, because what happens is under the Part 391, your background investigations,
mm-hmm.
a motor carrier is required to give a prospective employer a list of the DOT recordable crashes that this driver has been involved with in the last 3 years.
Right.
We don't care, or the company is not required to divulge whether or not the DOT crash was preventable or was not preventable. If you meet the criteria of being involved in a DOT recordable crash, then it goes into CSA 2010 as a DOT recordable crash,
mm-hmm.
and it's always and it's being done under the current situation now.
Right.
Under the DAC situation, if you have a driver that is involved in an incident, and an incident could be bumping the dock, breaking out a light or something like that.
Yeah, taking off a mirror or something like that.
Yeah, that doesn't even come under the definition of a DOT recordable crash.
Right.
Then a lot of companies report that to the DAC as an incident where where damage was caused to the vehicle.
Right.
But here again, as far as what's on the DAC report, it's left entirely up to the company that put it on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, FMCSA in 2000 and I believe 2007 or 2008 made provisions that a driver could submit a rebuttal
mm-hmm.
to the prospective employer.
Right.
So when they ran the DAC report, if they got something back, the driver could submit a rebuttal to what was on the DAC report.
All right. So now with the CSA 2010, they are going to have essentially what will show up on this driver pre-screening database will be essentially anything that is considered to be a DOT recordable
yes.
accident.
Yes.
So that encompasses what? What types of items would we see on there?
DOT recordable crash is anytime there is a fatality involved.
Okay.
Anytime someone is hauled off in an ambulance, okay. what we call ambulatory care. The third one is anytime one of the vehicles involved in the crash is towed from the scene due to disabling damage.
Okay. All right.
So if any one of those three occurs, then you now have a DOT recordable crash, and that information is sent to FMCSA, and it goes into their database.
Wow. All right. So you and I were kind of talking about what companies would be looking at. They're certainly going to look into the FMCSA database.
Yes.
And they will look at that first. There are many questions about whether or not companies will be looking at DAC reports anymore. My thought is if they see this FMCSA database is clean on this particular driver, there may not be a reason to pull up a DAC report on them.
Well, here again, if the driver pre-screening is going to list only the DOT crashes
right.
that the driver's been involved with. So mm-hmm. if he hasn't had a crash, nothing's going to be on there.
Right.
The next thing they're going to list is roadside inspections.
Mm-hmm.
If the driver hasn't gone through any roadside inspections, no data is going to be there.
Right.
So all of this information is going to be based upon information that they obtained off of the DOT crash
mm-hmm.
as well as off of a DOT roadside inspection. So if the driver's gone through those, then information will be there. It may not necessarily be bad information, but the information will be there. But at the same time, if the roadside inspections ended up with a lot of violations, those violations off of that inspection report are going to be there. So if a driver goes through and say he gets a whole bunch of inspections and there are very few violations noted,
mm-hmm.
it will show that this driver goes through the inspections and he's got a clean bill of health.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if a driver goes through and he gets written up pages and pages, you know, all of those violations are going to show up there. So if there's no data there, that means that one, the driver hasn't been involved in the crash, and two,
right.
the driver hasn't gone through any roadside inspections.
Yeah.
So in that instance, now they may decide to go and pull a DAC report.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Because again, the DAC report may show that they're just really bad at backing into a dock or something.
Yes.
You know, because that's what the smaller incidents.
Oh yes.
Would come
yes.
up, and there's that. All right. You and I talked during the break, and you made a really good point. This is actually something that came up over the weekend. On New Year's Eve, one of our news guys here in the building sent me a message on Facebook, and he said, I had to tell you this. He said, I ran into a guy, a truck driver, who helped one of the Aero truck drivers get home. He put him in the truck and took him home. But he was cited for having
an unauthorized passenger. Yes.
And I didn't write Alan back yet because I thought, well, this is a good question for Trooper Dial on Monday. And what are the laws here? Because Aero Trucking, they're gone, and most of the drivers are home. We still have a few hundred. But if you ever pick somebody up or, you know, have an unauthorized passenger, what are the laws there? Now, do you have to have something from the company?
No, no.
What do you have to have on board for anybody, any officer that's going to be looking?
All you have to do is notify your motor carrier.
Okay.
That motor carrier, here's the situation. I've got an Aero driver that's stuck out here in Timbuktu.
Right.
And
we have four of those drivers at Timbuktu, by the way.
He needs, you know, he needs to go to whatever location.
Right.
Do you have a problem with me ferrying him to that location? And the company can say, no, we don't have a problem. If that's the case, then what they need to do is give the driver, you know, the driver needs to give them the name of the passenger.
Okay.
And the company makes a note of it. And that's it. The driver doesn't have to carry any type of paperwork in the truck that says that this individual is authorized to be in the truck.
Okay, so what do they have to show to officer?
They don't have to. There's an interpretation in 392.60.
Mm-hmm.
It says, does the requirements to carry a copy, is the driver required to carry a copy of a written authorization to transport a passenger on board a CMV? No. Authorization must be maintained at the carrier's principal place of business.
Okay.
So all you have to do is call the company. The company has to be made aware of it, and they make a notation of who the driver, you know, this individual's name is.
Right.
And they're going from point A to point B, and the date, and that's all they have to do.
So how was this driver cited? It's likely that he just told the DOT officer that I didn't tell anybody?
He was probably, the driver was being honest, and that he, you know, didn't tell. Because one of the things that I always, when I worked the road, and I always had somebody in the, you know, stopped and there would be another passenger in the vehicle, I would always ask them, who is this person? Well, that's my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's my boyfriend, or that's my wife, or that's my husband, or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And my question was, does the company have a written authorization for them to be in the vehicle? And if the response was, no, they don't, then there was an entry made on the inspection for an unauthorized passenger.
Right.
But if they told me, yes, the company has written authorization, then End of question.
Right.
We're going to something else.
All right. To what extent are they cited? If they're cited for it, is that what type of penalty is that, and what does that driver do?
If a driver was issued a citation, then he'll have to contact the court. And the court, if it's in Texas, it's a fine not to exceed $500, what we call a Class C misdemeanor.
Wow.
At that point, all he has to do now is call his company and say, hey, look, you know, I kind of got the cart before the horse here.
Yeah.
And I should have called you ahead of time, and I forgot to. I knew you wouldn't care.
Right.
But
right.
Here's what's going on. This is the driver's name. I picked him up at this location, and I'm going to take him to this location. And somebody with the company makes a notation, and they keep it on file in case something ever comes up.
What if you're operating under your own authority?
If you are the owner of the truck and you are the motor carrier in that situation, you can do it yourself.
Okay. So it really wouldn't apply to you?
No.
Yeah. All right. We're back with Ask the Law in just a moment. Stand by. It's the Midnight Radio Network. The Midnight Radio Network, Eric Carla here. Gary McNamara is off. He's back tomorrow. It is the Monday, January 4th, 2010 edition of Ask the Law as we wrap it up. Courtesy of Old Blue USA, Senior Trooper Monty Dial. Don't forget to go to askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org, and click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law anytime. Well, Trooper Dial, it's hard to believe, but we are just a little over 60 days from the Mid-America show.
Yes.
And there's going to be a lot of talk around that. So, you know, as we get over the next couple of months, we'll, I'm certain, be talking about that and more questions that come up with CSA 2010.
Yes.
I'm sure that you guys will get there, those questions there at askthelaw.org. I'm sure that they're pouring in. So thank you for another great month. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
And we will talk to you again in February.
Yes, we will be here.
All right. Again, askthelaw.org. Click on the big red button that says email, Ask the Law. It's the Midnight Radio Network.